Welcome, everyone. The name of this workshop is Finding Hope in the Pages of the Big Book. My name is Brenda from Northern California. I'm a compulsive overeater. Let's start this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change things I can,
and wisdom to know the difference. Welcome to the first ever Region 1 virtual convention. This workshop format is two speakers for 20 minutes each, and then the floor will be open for 2 minute shares or questions for the speakers. So Sarah Leah is going to speak first. Please welcome Sarah Leah.
Thank you, everybody. Honored to be here. My name is Sarah Leah and I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in the program since 1982 and I've had continuous abstinence since then. And I'm also a big book thumper, and you can see from my big book, it is in sections. I came into the program in Lakeland, Florida, and then moved where there was nobody absent except me and this gal I sponsored, and moved to Miami in 84. In Miami, we were very lucky at that time to have Joe and Charlie. I don't know if anybody knows who Joe and Charlie are. They're AA speakers on the Big Book. In the 1980s, they were there every year. So we went to four of those, my husband and I, and they talked about every single word in the Big Book. And it was funny, I was sitting in the audience and I said to Lynn, now I've been in the program maybe 3 years. And I said, oh my God, I've read this so many times. And I didn't see any of this. And this guy behind me said, I've been in the program 30 years and I've never seen any of it either. So I was very humbled. Just to qualify, I was overweight when I was 10. I grew tall. I was one of the tallest ones in my, maybe I was the tallest. I think I was the second tallest person in my eighth grade class. And so that solved that problem. And then from then on, my mother had us on diets because she was always on a diet. So anyway, then fast forward, I kept eating and I was one of those people that eat a lot and they go on a diet, eat a lot. I probably lost 500 or 600 pounds in my lifetime in this program. So, oh no, before program, I mean, I don't think I've lost a lot of weight in this program, back and forth anyway. When I came into the program, I was about 150 pounds, but I had been over 200, and I can't tell you how far over 200 I was because I lied to myself and everybody else. So anyway, came in, I was in 1984, and the Big Book is what, there was actually nothing available. There was no OA literature then. They had pamphlets, and one of the pamphlets was Before the First Bite. And that is a pamphlet that I carried around for 2 or 3 years. And every time that I wanted to eat, I would read that pamphlet. So here, this is the table of contents. And if you draw a line between 1 and 43, those pages are all about step 1. 44 is step 2. 58 to 89 is 3 through 12. And 89 to 103 is the 12 steps. So there are 103 pages, of the Big Book. And more counting, 103. And then you add the doctor's opinion. So you end up with 51 pages that are about the first step. So obviously the first step is the most important. And what helped me in the beginning, actually at my first meeting, but then it was backed up when I came to Miami. I went to a meeting where the beginner meeting was at the end. And so anyway, we had the beginner meeting, and in the beginner meeting, they explained that I was an addict. I cannot tell you how relieved I was, because I thought I was weak all those years when I would go on diets and I couldn't keep to them. And then I would eat again normally. That's what I thought was normal. So the first year in the program, when I had my abstinence, I remember getting to goal weight, which was 125, actually way less than that now. And I get to goal weight. And so I said to my sponsor, I think I'll add something. And so she said, now, why don't you just keep eating what you're eating? And we'll see how you do, whether you can subtract anything. Well, I couldn't subtract anything because that was what I could eat, which was very disturbing. You know, I had never taught, I'd never realized about normal. Normal, I thought, was just eating as much as you can. Anyway, so then I got to Miami and I got a real OA sponsor. By that, I mean, my first sponsor relapsed and then called me and asked me to sponsor her. So my ego was huge. It's a wonder I could walk through the door. And my husband's sponsor in AA, he came to dinner all the time. And he asked me how much time I had. And I said, well, I have 6 months, except for one slip. And he said, well, let me see. He says, that means that I have 50, he had 25 at the time, 51 years. And I have had 8,400 or maybe 450, I can't remember exactly, 455 or 56 relapses. Well, that put me in my place. So it was very disturbing, but I had to give up my 3 months and start over in August. And he is the one to whom I owe my abstinence, because there was nobody in Lakeland that could sponsor me. Nobody was abstinent after my sponsor relapsed. And he would treat me like a Skid Row drunk. I can remember one time when I was talking, I was going to talk and I was nervous. And so this took like 45 minutes, but I'm just going to tell you, we counted all the meetings in Polk County and then Florida and all the states and all the countries. And the thing I remember, that Russia had just opened to AA. So we counted all the AA, Al-Anon and OA meetings that night. So it ended up, we had 100,000 meetings. And so he said to me, and who the fuck do you think you are that anyone's ever going to remember anything you have to say? That was the best thing that was ever said to me, because I never worry about what I'm going to say. I don't plan it. I put it in God's hands. Like I just said before, when we were saying the Serenity Prayer, please God speak through me. So they told me I was an addict. And then when I got, at that time, the abstinence was no sugar, no white flour, one day at a time, or three meals a day, one day at a time. And since then, I have the option of snack, which I never use. But anyway, on 27, in the doctor's opinion, we're talking about the phenomenon of craving and an entire sacred change. And so the phenomenon of craving was really great that I learned about that. And that really helped me. Also, there is a story in the big book. It's on page 32, and there's this story about this salesman who goes back, who, of course, and he goes back to deal with his, so he has to go back to work for a car dealership that he had once owned. He was not happy about that. Ah, it's on page 36. Suddenly the thought crossed my mind that if I were to put an ounce of milk in my whiskey, it couldn't have hurt me, hurt on a full stomach. Ordered a whiskey and poured it into the milk. This is the sentence that scared the living shit out of me. I vaguely sensed that I was not being any too smart. He vaguely sensed? I'll tell you, that was such a turning point for me. I tremble at the thought of vaguely sensed. He didn't get any warning. He was just vaguely aware. Ugh. That sentence and the doctor's opinion are just, those things got me through. So then, now this I actually just discovered. The big book is a textbook, which it says in the foreword, one of the forewords. It's a textbook, and a textbook is meant to be to go from page one, where you don't understand anything, to the end of the book. That's how it's worked. And you go in little steps. That's how you study when studying arithmetic. You don't start at algebra. You start at the beginning. And when I was in OA, they started me on chapter four, where the steps are. So this just popped out at me. And so I've been told and told and told and told, you know, and it says in the book repeatedly that the purpose of this book is to find the power. It doesn't talk about staying sober or staying absent, or, well, it doesn't say anything about staying absent anyway. But on page 11 in Bill's story, which I just saw maybe 3 years ago, because I read this, of course, all the time, sponsoring people and whatever, had this power originated in him? That's the question he asks. He doesn't ask, you know, how could he not drink, or any questions along that road. He just said, how do you find that power? That's what Bill's saying. Bill is drunk and he is saying that. And that is the total purpose of the big book, is to find that power in step two. So Bill, Bob and Charlie and Joe, Joe and Charlie say that all the steps are there to stay in the second step. In other words, the first step is the most important, as I pointed out in the index. If you haven't taken the first step, forget it. You'll never get absent. And the first step is hard to admit, you know, that I am powerless over food. But I proved that to myself. I didn't get in here until I was 42. And my sister didn't come in until she was in her 60s. So it is, it's very hard. I can do it myself. Well, after all, I'm a controller, so I can do it myself. So that's the most important step, but all 2 to 12 is about staying in the second step, because the second step is where we have the answers. So how I do the second step and the 11th step, when I was born, my mother was severely mentally ill, and she did some things to Nancy and I that were just not wonderful. And she used to poke something in my stomach. And I saw this from the upper corner of my room, actually that corner, because my bed was here. And she would come in and she couldn't have broken the skin or my dad would have seen. And she poked something in my stomach. It wasn't her finger, but it was something else. And then she would look at me and her eyes were empty. If you've ever known anybody who is really mentally ill and looked in their eyes, it's like there's somebody else sitting in there on a chair. But as a little kid, 9 months old, I could see that. Of course, you can't remember anything when you're 9 months old unless you've been traumatized. So anyway, with that, when she left, and I was over on the wall, but when I got back into my crib and she was out of the room, this light came and it was like a mood lamp. And it was gold, you know, mood lamp in the 70s, you know, they just flowed into, it was just like that. Only this was in the 1940s. So it made me laugh, this beautiful, wonderful white and gold light. And as it undulated, I don't know, I thought it was funny. I always look at babies now and think, what are they laughing at? But with that came this energy into the room. And that is my higher power, that energy. I don't know what it is. I don't have any knowledge of it. But I mean, I lost it all, of course, with my eating. I lost everything, including myself. But I am very happy with this higher power. And I remember a few years ago, I have a sponsor who brings me through the steps every single year because I got complacent about 10 years ago. I felt I was skating. And so we started doing the steps every year, which I learned from somebody in AA. So I worked the steps every year and I started meditating 41 years ago. I meditate an hour a day, every day. And I started with this guy who taught about meditation and he said, you meditate for 5 minutes a day and then you'll have abundance. And abundance to me was money at that time. And so I started meditating for money. I love the people that say you have to start for the correct reason. And started meditating for money. And he said, do it for 90 days. And I was so nuts. I mean, I went through and counted every date I didn't estimate. And at the end, you write in the little square on your calendar, end of meditation. And I remember coming to the 90-day mark and looking at the calendar and thinking, well, obviously, I can't do that. And this was before I was in program. So I've been meditating all that time. I've done many, many, many different kinds of meditation. Meditation is the most important thing I do all day, and the big book. And praying for me is just talking. You know, like before here, I just said, okay, God, you're on. Just speak through me. And that always works for me. So I'm a very happy compulsive overeater. I used to hear people say that when I was new and I thought they were idiots. But I'm very happy to be free, not only of the weight. It's much easier to walk when you're 123 pounds than when you're 223 pounds. And the first time I got abstinent, I remember walking through a big Publix in Florida. I'm in Florida. I have a Seattle number because I lived there for a long time. And going through this huge store, which were bigger than our stores in this particular one, was bigger than any of the stores I'd been out up north. And clean. God, it was so clean. Anyway, but I remember walking around there with this unbelievable freedom, you know, that I didn't have all that weight to carry around. So that was a wonderful gift too. So the lack of weight is a great gift, and I do not take it for granted. And the freedom from, when I was in Seattle, they used to call me the rage person because I talked about my rage all the time, from which I am in remission right now. And so I'm in remission from my rage. I'm in remission from my anger, at least this year. Even through the election, which was amazing. I'm remission from the kind of fear that I came into the program with. In fact, Joe said to me, don't talk about that kind of fear because nobody's going to know what you're talking about. And he called it, I can't remember what he called it. It was diagnostic. I can't remember the words. That fear, I would go in the grocery store. At that time, I was agoraphobic, and if I saw somebody in the other line that I would have to like wave to, not talk to, just wave to, I would leave the grocery store, leaving three carts of groceries because I had five children. That was the kind of fear I had. And now I'm just afraid my husband's going to die. He's 84 and I'm 80. Yeah, that's my big fear. So I am very happy. I'm very happy here in Florida. I'm very happy with my husband. I'm very happy with my five kids who all get along together. Thank you, God, for this program.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Leah, for sharing your finding hope in the pages of the big book. And our next speaker is lovely Tony C. Take it on, Tony.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Sarah Leah. I think I learned something, even though Sarah Leah and I were in the same city in the same program. I always thought she had a year up on me because I went in 1981. Oh, but if we were counting the program in our years, I don't think there's any contest because I'm a late bloomer in every sense of the word, but thank you, God, I have bloomed. Not like finally bloomed, but
bloomed.
Beginning, yes. And I'll take any kind of blooming and good news after 76. So the first thing I did was I thought, I can't tell you 39 years in 4 minutes. But I could give you the numbers. And you don't have to remember any of these numbers. They're just for me to qualify. So hang on to any, listen, forget, your choice. My numbers in program terms, 29 years in program. My current abstinence, 14 years, 6 months. 1,200, 1,500, 1,800 calories, the range of the amounts of food I do, from don't eat less than, try not to eat more than. 76-year-old metabolism, what I get to work with. 20 minutes since my full or stop eating lever is broken, I scientifically accept the fact that when I stop eating, I've got 20 minutes to not feel hungry. That is 20 minutes of really long time where I have to believe that I won't be hungry. Four favorite daily tools: food plan, sponsorship, writing, and meditation. And for me, meditation is the greatest of all of these because it lets me know where I am. 8, the number of tools I try to use daily. Sponsors, 2 longtime sponsors for a total of my 34 years in program. I chose one and my higher power chose the other. Binge foods, I'm lucky, only about 5, all Christmas related. And I keep them out of my house and out of my life and out of my thoughts and nobody gets hurt. Former eating behaviors that made me a supreme compulsive overeater. Always saying yes to extra food and denying it was extra. Lamest excuse for an extra meal. Me, I'm eating half my breakfast tonight and the other half tomorrow. My sponsor, you're eating 4 meals. Denial math, 4 = 3. 7 days a week, I check in with a program sponsor. 5 days a week is OA. Although even my 6th call is someone in OA and my other program. So I am covered. I keep myself always reading, always writing, always staying on program. 164, the pages where he stopped while my sponsee is on sick leave. # COVID. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to do that. I was trying to be very, very spiritual, but that was an upgrade from what I wanted to say. And my sponsor said, don't you dare cuss. So I'm not, because I love my sponsor and I listen to her. So those are all my numbers. So I think I did it. Okay. They say you teach what you want to learn. I wanted to know more about the newest collection of the diverse stories in part 2, They Stopped Eating in Time, and part 3, They Lost Nearly All, in the 4th edition of the Big Book. So I read them and looked for hope, how folks got hope, how God, higher powers showed up in their lives to keep them alive until they found program, and then what God with skin, what person, what spiritual awakening got them into program, and the belief that took them from there is nothing I can do to there is a solution. I always assume none of us come to program when our life is on a high note. I figure we're a pretty hopeless bunch. And in coming to program, we have the beginnings of hope. HP showed up for most of us and most of these people I read about in the form of a person who introduced them to program. Sometimes the story gives us a whole bunch of how bad it was. I'm thinking of some of these stories could inspire a host of first step call and response. How bad was it? It was so bad. And many of the women who I fell in love with in part 3, which has 8 out of 17 stories are women's stories. Wahoo, that's a difference. That hope was a scrap of paper left in dirty jeans, that this woman was in a laundromat and somebody just gave her a slip of paper which said, if you want to stop drinking, call. And I love it because this woman called, and the only reason she called is that when she got out of bed, she fell down and couldn't move. And she had this scrap of paper. My first step story isn't as dramatic. Somebody said to me, I go to OA. It changed my life. Thank you, God, I didn't ask what OA was, because the answer would have set me packing. And even if I had arrived and liked what you had to say, but if Roseanne had really called us Gluttons Anonymous, I'd be out the door. That's too much truth to bear. I hold and need experience, strength, and hope like I need a good romance novel. I mostly hang on to what gives you hope. How do you practice your program? What are your favorite stories? I'm eager to hear your favorite big book stories, your own experience. Talk fast. I'm listening. I will hold your stories with mine. There are folks who love Dr. Bob and Bill W., and I know my partner loves and reveres them. To me, they're just a bit too far removed, a bit too much like George Washington. I need someone human, and I was lucky enough to meet Dr. Paul, and I was lucky enough to come into program when, although, as Sarah Leah said, we didn't have our own literature. We did have the big book, the AA 12x12, the Overeaters Anonymous chocolate book that we called it. Of course we called it that. And so, but acceptance was quoted and memorized then. And sometimes it was shorthand. Somebody would just say page 442. Here it is. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed because I find some person, place, thing or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much as what needs to be changed in my world and what needs to be changed in me. And having this opportunity to read all these stories, I occasionally laughed aloud. One guy slept in a clothing donation box and somebody threw clothes in and he just says, thank you. And the woman who hearing that screams and runs off. And I just laughed and laughed because, you know, of course, you know, thank you. Somebody gives you something. I was waiting to hear the story, the thing that I could hang on to as much as I could love Dr. Paul. And it took me to almost my last story. And it was called Empty on the Inside. And it almost makes me want to cry because this is the first time in my life I read an OA story that I could have written some of the words my very own self. She is an anonymous author, but of course I need to call her something. So since she's reminded me so much of myself, I called her Smarty Pants, because she starts her story with, I spent my life acting as if, either acting as I knew something I didn't know, because it was not okay to not know the answer. In my alcoholic home, me, Tony, I was always ready to provide an answer. The fact that I produced it out of thin air or grabbed it from the nether reaches of my intestinal tract meant only that the rest of the world hadn't caught on yet. She continues, the concept of set a goal, work for the goal, achieve the goal was foreign to me. You either had it or you didn't. And if you didn't, you wouldn't let on. I was so smart, that I knew I was so smart, I really didn't have to study. From the big book, I was always ready with a promise to do better, to try harder, to apply myself, to live up to my potential. Potential, now there's the curse of every budding alcoholic. And for me, as a compulsive overeater in training, all I had was potential. I didn't study. I didn't pay attention to my own life. I always fantasized a better future. I wished for a better past. And I didn't live in today. I don't know whose life I lived, but it wasn't mine. And when I read her story, I went, how can she tell my story? But she did, and I'm grateful. For the first time, and the thing that amazes me is my whole life, I knew if only my parents weren't alcoholics, or if somehow they had discovered AA, it would have been wonderful. But this woman is the daughter of two AAs, and she grew up in program, and she had been in those rooms for years. And for her, that was a weapon. She learned how she could talk a great game of recovery without doing anything. Oh. For the first time, she says, I went to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous with my dad and said, I'm an alcoholic. When I had gone to a meeting with my dad, I had always said, I'm with him. I didn't even have time to laugh at that before the next paragraph, she says. So I got divorced. I moved back home. Within a year, I was under arrest for child endangerment. This woman used her knowledge of program to talk a good game without ever having to do the whole hard stuff of really abstaining from alcohol. It was when she faced her demons that things worked out for her. Another saying in Seattle, you can't save your ass and your face at the same time. Like Smarty Pants, it took me a really long time to completely give myself over to the program. But I'm so glad I did. Thank you. And with this extra time, I'm just hoping that we'll have silence to meditate. You can think about what your favorite big book stories are, what your inspiration was, what gave you hope. Because hope, it's not only a step. I think hope that puts it courage to the test becomes the trust of the second tradition. So with that, thank you. Bless you. I enjoyed myself. I hope you got something out of it.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Tony and Sarah Leah, for your beautiful shares. We will now open the floor for two-minute shares or questions for the speakers. Bailey has her hand up.
Good morning. My name is Bailey. I just have a question for Sarah Leah. Can she tell us the chapter splits? She said draw a line. I know I got page 43, but where the steps are for each chapter and the table of content. Thank you.
The steps are on chapter 5, how it works, and they begin on page 59. I think that would be your question.
I think she wanted the whole thing about how you separated out all the 12 steps.
How I separated them out?
Step 1 was in Bill's story to page 44.
I got it. Okay, that's in the table of contents. So you go to page 1 and then draw a line at 30. And put a dash and put 43. That's 43. Then you add 8 pages from the doctor's opinion and you get 51, I think. Yeah, 51. So there's only 103 pages that actually deal with the steps. And so half of those are about step one. Okay, step two is 44, we agnostics. Steps, how it works, and into action and working with others, that's 3 through 12. That takes you to 89, and then you put a dash and you put 103. No, that's not right. Wait, that's wrong.
What did I do? That's okay. I think they can figure that out. Thank you, Aralea. We need to move on. You can put anything you want in the chat and we can. Robin, you're next.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Robin, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Robin.
Thank both speakers so much for your share. I got so much out of it. And one thing that just really struck me is I too have looked in the big book and that story where the guy says, I vaguely sensed I was being none too smart. I can relate to that so much, that thought that comes in my head, like just putting this milk in my, you know, my whiskey and milk. And it'd just be like, if I just could eat this or if just for tonight or just whatever. But what I really related to was how scary that is for me to think that that thought can just come to my head. And I too have been listening to Joe and Charlie because I really want to get that second step. And for me in the past, I never thought the second step was, I don't know that I just sort of went over it, smoothed over it. And so I just wanted to share how I'm really relating to how important that second step is and how much part of the big book is devoted to it. And then I also just wanted to say, Tony, that I really enjoyed that you read the stories looking for things. And I tried to write down, I just know one thing you look for is hope. Maybe when the person in the story gets hope. But you mentioned a couple of other things, but that's all right. I may be able to re-listen to your talks later and write down what those were. But thank you so much. It's been so helpful to me.
Thank you, Robin, for your share.
I just want to clarify what I said before about how breaking it up. It's from 58 to 89. It is 3 through 11, actually. And 89 to 103 is on the 12th step. The other thing I wanted to say is that I am 100% completely removed from the food. Nothing ever calls to me. And for that, I am unbelievably grateful.
Gwen, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Gwen.
Thank you. I wanted to say that thank you both for your shares. And I love talking about the big book. I'm so passionate and inspired about it. And my name's Gwen. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in recovery. And I've been in OA since 2006. And I've been a chronic slipper, chronic relapser, not a slipper. I have relapsed multiple times. And you know, this time around, I'm working with a sponsor and going through the big book page by page and doing writing every day. And some of my favorite parts are in step 10, 11, and 12, because I know for me, I've never understood how to live this program. I'm a great student and I know how to study it and I know how to like talk it and I know how to act as if, but living it, actually living it in my life every day, and it's all in step 10, 11, and 12 in the big book. And also some of my favorite quotes are in there. And one of them is, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. And also I just heard Sarah Leah share about her position of neutrality that she's in. So we feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, and that's in step 10. And then there's like a whole list of directions on how to live day to day and keep spiritually fit. And there's a sentence that says it's the proper use of the will. And the proper use of the will is by seeking my higher power's will. You know, like I can turn my will in that direction all I want because it's the best use of the will in this program. Otherwise, I'm really willful in all kinds of directions and that just keeps me focused. And then in step 11, I always share like my favorite sentences. It works. It really does. And that's a promise. Like if I do all the things before that sentence, because that's right at the end of step 11, it works. It really does. And, you know, I can come to rely on this stuff. I don't have to struggle all the time. I can cease fighting. And that's pretty relaxing for me. And I don't do it that easily, but I know I have the directions here. So I'm really grateful. And thank you all for talking about the big book.
Thank you, Gwen, for your share. Suzanne, go for it.
My name is Susanna, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Sarah Leah and Tony, for your shares. I too came in when I was very young, and I ended up in Corvallis, Oregon, and the women that befriended me were from AA. And I was told to buy a big book. I was in so much pain. I did that. And the other thing that I did early on was I took And We Have Ceased Fighting Anything or Everything, and I read that on a daily basis for 6 years. I wanted to use that as a vision. That was my vision statement of really what I wanted. It wasn't that I just wanted the food off. I wanted to have peace of mind. And I tell people when they're new, especially when I'm beginning to sponsor them, that's a very important place to go. I ended up continuing to go back to the big book. And what happened for me was my food began to lift. I stopped being interested in eating certain things, and those things dropped off, and I was never interested in going back to them. And that's really how my food came together. Another thing that I found was Joe and Charlie was one of the first things that I'd ever heard about, and it was very exciting. And I've since, there are a lot of different processes with the big book that people are using. And what I did was I continued to work different big book focused steps, processes, and ended up having another experience of really understanding on an internal level how to live my life with those steps. And I'm grateful today that I'm able to continue to move forward without thinking about food, with thinking about, thank you.
Thank you for your share, Suzanne. Next, we have Tricia.
Hey, my name is Tricia, and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your shares. I've been in meetings with you, Tony, before, and just I hang on your words because it just resonates so much with me. Specifically, I'd like to talk about a phrase you used, hope that puts courage to the test, that puts tears in my eyes and goosebumps on my skin, because as I'm sure is common for many of us, the hopelessness when I came into the program was complete. I had no idea that I could recover. And that kind of hopelessness demands courage for me to go forward. I can't even think of a better phrase, and I don't know if you authored that phrase or if it's out of the literature, but it just so addresses that transformation and that miracle that brings us from that pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization that we're all so familiar with into a place where we look at life with bright eyes and expectation for such goodness to come. And I am so appreciative of people that have been in recovery for long enough that they have lived that, not only spoken it. So thank you so much.
Beverly, go for it.
Thank you. I want to say one of my favorite stories in the big book is in Bill's story, where he's standing in the lobby of the hotel, I believe it is, and he has a choice of whether he's going to go to that church directory and make some phone calls and figure out who he's going to help, or is he going to go down to the other end where there's the bar and he can hear the sounds, you know, people having a good old time, I guess. And he made the choice to go help somebody, even though he was really shaky. He was really having a hard time. And I believe that right before that, what had happened for him is he'd gone to the, everything had gone wrong in his business dealings. he wasn't even sure, I think, that he could pay the hotel bill. I mean, like, everything was horrible in his world in that moment. And he made the choice to get out of himself and see if he could be of service to somebody else. And to me, that is really, really powerful. Oh, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Beverly.
Yeah, I wanted to say that the miracle for me is that Ebby came to see him. In this 3 month period, Ebby came, well, first of all, Roland went over and found out to Dr. Young, and he found out the experience. Then Ebby came to him. And you know, the first alcoholic that stayed sober, other than Dr. Bob and Bill, was another William. William, I can't remember his name right now. Anyway, so Ebby never stayed sober, and neither did Roland. And the miracle is that they all came together at the same time. And if you ever listen to any tapes by Bob Smith, the son from Dr. Bob, you know, he points out that this probably couldn't have happened except in the depression, because they had time to listen. Can you imagine Bill trying to get his message off now? I mean, who would listen? Everybody's listening to everything else.
And with that, we need to close the meeting. Thank you all for being here. Here are two noteworthy resources for recovery available in Region 1. Virtual sponsors. Region 1 offers a matchup service for virtual sponsoring. Find out more on our website, oaregion1.org. Region 1 maintains a speaker list. Now that there is no travel costs involved getting a faraway meetings, how about bringing your experience, strength, and hope to a new meeting in Region 1? You can add your name if you are willing to speak, or you can request a copy of the speaker list. Check out how on the Region 1 website, oaregion1.org. We'd like to thank our speakers, Tony and Sarah Leah, and everyone who attended and shared and listened in this session. We'll now close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change.
The courage to change
the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.